You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 312 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live on a Friday evening in a little bit of a different time slot than usual. The Christmas holiday dictates that we took the day off yesterday. I've been coming back with back-to-back shows here on a Saturday and a Sunday, technically. So a little bit of a recording schedule mishap/change here. But that's the nature of the beast when you're talking about the schedule and the way the Hawks break things down here and travel and all that fun stuff. So here we are. The Hawks lost by a final score of 120 to 117 in Oklahoma City on a Friday night. It was a very interesting game on a number of levels. Ended up being a Russell Westbrook buzzer beater, essentially. It actually went through the rim with about 2 seconds to go, so it wasn't a true buzzer beater, I guess, but a game winner from the hand of the reigning MVP, even though he's not had the great season this year necessarily by his standards. That was obviously a big shot for the Thunder, and it avoided basically disaster for the team that was favored by 11.5 points in this game. Part of the reason why they were favored by so much was that Dennis Schroeder did not play for Atlanta. I noted this during the game, but the Hawks have actually been sizably better this year without Dennis Schroeder on the court. I'm not sure if you can just read into that as a plain takeaway that it's all about Schroeder, but they have a basically a 500 team sort of net rating. They were only slightly negative, about a 0.4 net rating with him off the court this year, and a negative 7.6 rating coming into the game with him on the court. You know, some of that has some noise in it, you know, playing a starting lineups, all that fun stuff, and some garbage time on the lineups without him. But at the same time, the Hawks have not been exactly fantastic with him on the court, especially defensively. The team's definitely been better with him off the court. I think that can be backed up by numbers and the eye test defensively for sure. Offensively, you could certainly argue that the Hawks need Schroeder's creation ability, but he was ruled out in this game right before tip-off. You know, obviously, last time we talked, we did not know about this, but he was listed as questionable on Thursday with a left ankle injury. No actually stated injury. I'm assuming just a pretty light sprain, because Schroeder made the trip to Oklahoma City. He was on the bench, actually, and he was actually dressed. Some daily fantasy players were not exactly thrilled because the Hawks made him active, so he was in uniform, but then just moments before the game started, they ruled him out with a release, and being the fact that it was on the road, not a whole lot of coverage there in terms of the Hawks' standpoint. So yeah, interesting to say the least, but he was a late scratch here. Not a big surprise that he didn't play. You know, a lot of time when the Hawks list a guy as questionable on the road like that for the first time, I would kind of expect him to not play, to be honest with you, just because they had no reason to, you know, put that flag up if he's going to play. Still, and of course it was a back-to-back setting. You know, the Hawks play again on Saturday night in Atlanta against the Mavs, so some travel there to deal with, and Schroeder apparently less than 100%, and they held him out of this game. With that said, they actually started Kent Bazemore and Marco Bellinelli in the backcourt in this game, which was a little bit of a surprise. I would have projected certainly someone else to start, whether it be Isaiah Taylor or Malcolm Delaney. The Hawks ended up going big. You know, some of that I can actually kind of understand because of the fact that I'm sure Bud wanted to throw Kent Bazemore defensively at Russell Westbrook. You know, Westbrook's not your traditional point guard. He's a legit 6'4", super athletic guy, and Bazemore will probably have the best assignment with him in that way. In addition to that, they can hide Marco Bellinelli against Andre Robertson on the defensive end of the floor, so that sort of makes a little bit of sense. I still probably would have gone with Taylor in this spot, and we'll talk about Taylor and Delaney, of course, later on in the podcast, but that was an interesting way that the Hawks came out of the gate here. In addition, the other rotation, the thing that I thought was very noteworthy, was that Tyler Cavanaugh played and Luke Babbitt did not. I thought that might only be a first half thing, but Babbitt never appeared in this game. He was the only healthy scratch slash inactive DNPCD, all that fun stuff in this game. And Cavanaugh, after not playing at all for the last couple of games, played 19 minutes, actually played quite a bit here. So that's something that we'll take away and talk about here in a second. Early in the game, the biggest flashpoint play was this dunk by Russell Westbrook on the fast break. They ended up following through and basically doing a hammer elbow on Kent Bazemore. That play was not ruled as a technical foul for Bazemore. I mean, for Westbrook, which was a little bit of a surprise. A lot of Hawks fans upset about that, but that was sort of the highlight-ish play of the first quarter. Actually, it was a pretty good quarter for the Hawks, though. It was 28-28, and the Hawks had a 114 offensive rating against a very, very good Oklahoma City defense in that first quarter, which was impressive, to say the least. I will say, though, the second quarter got out of hand. But before we get to that, just one quick note on the first quarter. 9 assists on 11 field goals for the Hawks, and actually the ball movement was very, very good in that period, which was impressive to see without Schroeder in the lineup. The second quarter, though, got out of hand in a hurry. It was an 8-0 run by the Thunder to start the second quarter and a 21-6 overall run to start the second quarter from the Thunder. Basically, that entire quarter was dominated by Oklahoma City to the tune of 36-22. They were explosive offensively, and that was pretty rough. There was a really, really rough stretch from DeAndre Bembry during that run in which he missed two layups and failed to execute a pretty simple lob pass to John Collins. Threw the ball about 2 feet too high. Not even Collins could get up high enough to grab that, so not the greatest stretch in the world there for Bembry. Also, we saw a little bit of Malcolm Delaney at backup point guard for the first time in that second quarter. It was not his fault that the team was floundering, but it was the first time that he actually played a little bit of point guard in the first quarter. It was all Taylor, and Delaney did play a little bit of that in that second period. At the half, the Hawks were down 14 points. They had 12 turnovers at that point in time. That was really kind of the bugaboo for the Hawks in that second quarter, really the entire first half. They were allowing a 127 offensive rating, and that's not going to get it done at all, obviously. However, the third quarter was really, really kind to the Hawks. A 31-18 final margin in that period. It was an 11-0 run from Atlanta to get within four midway through the third period, and actually close even closer than that down the stretch of the third quarter. And the Thunder committed 8 turnovers in the third quarter that led directly to 14 Hawks points. That was a huge turning point in the game and allowed the Hawks to get back into it, as the Thunder was pretty careless with the ball, and that was ended up being a huge takeaway here. In the fourth quarter, a couple of back-to-back easy buckets from Kent Bazemore, one dunk, one layup to give the Hawks a 4-point lead. At that point, it was all the momentum was in the Hawks on the Hawks side of things, to be sure. From there, it was pretty much a back and forth action, though. Ilyasova hit a corner three with about 38 seconds to go in the game, but actually wanted a foul on a 4-point play opportunity that was reviewed. It ended up being a three. The Hawks were down one at that point. Then Ilyasova tied the game, actually, with 11 seconds to go on 2 free throws. But from there, it was Russell Westbrook raining down the game-winning 3 with 2 seconds to go. It was very deep. You know, Bud seemed like he was actually okay with it. The attempt, at least. Obviously, didn't want to lose the game. But the attempt, when he was talking about that in post-game, when it was shown on the broadcast on Fox Sports South, it was one of those things where it's kind of all you can do. You know, he had a tough shot. It was very deep. And you don't want that to happen. I advocated during that timeout before Ilyasova got to the line that I would have tried to go for the win. The Hawks did not do that. They actually attempted a long two that was off the mark. Ilyasova got an offensive rebound to create those free throws. I would have held for the last shot. I know that's not exactly the highest percentage play, but on the road against a team that I think is pretty much solidly better than you, of course, that you know to have that opportunity to steal the win with one shot down the stretch would have been something that appealed to me. But Bud ran a play that was clearly designed to get that two-pointer and send the game hopefully to overtime. But you know, Westbrook had no part in that and ended the game there. With that said, we can get into the player portion of the podcast, as always, but I do want to remind you guys to subscribe to the podcast. I know it's a little bit of a special edition Saturday episode. We're getting towards Christmas. If you want to follow the Christmas Day games, you know, the teams that are in action will definitely have podcasts there, whether it be Locked On Warriors, Locked On Cavs, all those fun spots, as well as the Locked On NBA podcast on a big picture sense, and as well as if you like the NFL, a lot of action over this weekend, including a big Falcons game on Sunday, that I would encourage you guys to check out the Locked On Falcons podcast as well. But please subscribe, leave positive feedback on all those podcasts, and I really, really appreciate your patronage of the Locked On Podcast Network. With that said, we can get into the player portion of the program. We'll start on the starting lineup, actually, in this one, because we started on the bench the last time around. And honestly, it was a pretty interesting game. Marco Bellinelli had a huge game for the Hawks as an offensive force. 27 points to lead all scorers for Atlanta. 10 of 18 from the floor, I should say. 5 of 10 from 3. Had 5 assists as well. A big playmaking load for Bellinelli. This was arguably his best game of the season, offensively, you know, and defensively, again. The fact that they were allowed to hide him a little bit on Andre Robertson really helps to play him well, and that actually ended up working out well for Bud in that instance. Wasn't something that I love, but it definitely did work in this spot. And Bellinelli's, you know, a lot of shot making. A lot of those shots were honestly wide open, which is something he's definitely going to be able to do well. That's his calling card, of course, is a really, really good shooter and creator. But Bellinelli played extremely well here, and defensively, his issues were not quite as magnified as they usually are, which is a plus. Kent Bazemore, a little bit more low-key, 11 points, 6 assists, 4 steals, did have 5 turnovers, and 3 rebounds. It was 4 of 6 from the floor. you know, he sort of ran the offense a little bit. You know, it wasn't all point guard minutes for Bazemore, considering that, you know, they got 44 combined minutes from Delaney and Taylor, but there were minutes where Kent was the primary ball handler. He did a fine job there. Some of the overcreation a little bit with the 5 turnovers, but I thought he actually played pretty darn well here defensively. You know, nobody's gonna be able to stop Russell Westbrook. Is one of his best games of the season, honestly, with 30 points, 15 assists, and 7 rebounds. It was actually really efficient as well, with 12 to 17 from the floor. You know, Baze tried to give him a little bit of fits, but Westbrook had it going, and that's a problem for basically anyone. Miles Plumlee, a pretty anonymous game here. 19 minutes, two points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. He played less here, actually, than he had in the previous game. Was plus 5, but I thought he was just kind of out there. Steven Adams is a much better player, of course, than Plumlee, and he got beat up a little bit by Adams, but still, I thought he was actually okay in his minutes. Torian Prince, 8 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. I thought he actually played much better than the numbers indicate in this game. Not always the case, but, you know, Torian was 3 of 11. There were some low points, but there were some really, really encouraging passes and some creation stuff from Torian that you definitely want to grab onto and hold in terms of your positivity in this game. I didn't think he was awesome by any stretch, but I thought he was better than the numbers indicated, which is kind of a pretty good thing if you want to break that down a little bit. And defensively, I thought he did a pretty decent job on Paul George as well. Finally, Ursula Masova, a really, really quiet 22 points, but a 7 of 10 showing from the floor, 4 of 5 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. I thought he probably didn't play as well as the numbers indicated, but he shot the ball well here. So maybe Torian should get a little bit of credit when Masova has a little bit less credit, but still, it's not all about shooting. But obviously, when you shoot like that, 22 points on 10 attempts, everything's pretty good in that sense. Moving on to the bench, the big story in this game is Malcolm Delaney, a career-high 20 points for Delaney, 6 assists as well, 2 rebounds. He was 7 of 10 from the floor, 4 of 6 from 3. Bud really praised his defense as well after the game. I thought he was very, very good and very active defensively, giving Russ some fits at time and just kind of being very good on that end of the floor. Bud is always quick to praise Delaney for sort of being in the right place and knowing what he's doing defensively. But in this game, he just had it going with his jump shot. It was very nice to see after, you know, we talked about that in the last game. He got a little bit of heat from the way that he, for the quote that he gave me that we talked about here. I thought Delaney played extremely well here. He was the first point guard off the bench, at least at times in this game, and you know, played some with alongside Isaiah Teller as well, and those guys actually functioned pretty well together. It was a pretty good performance from him, obviously, in a lot of ways, but the shooting sort of speaks for itself. Elsewhere on the bench, of course, John Collins had a huge game. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 27 minutes, 7 of 8 from the floor. He had 5 offensive rebounds. I thought he should have played more. It's going to be a theme. I will say, though, he did play the entire closing run to get up to 27 minutes. At one point, it looked like he was going to play even less than that. I would have liked to see him play more than Tyler Cavanaugh. Obviously, he did play more than Tyler Cavanaugh, but Cavanaugh played some center minutes that I would not have sort of subscribe to if I was Bud in this spot. I do understand it's a back-to-back and it's the first game and then you're on the road, but you know, 27 minutes doesn't look out of the ordinary. I thought he probably should have played a little bit more in this game, but in general, you know, Collins held up well against Adams. You know, there was a couple moments in which Adams sort of bullied him a little bit on Oklahoma City's offensive glass. Still, I do think that Collins played reasonably well here, and the numbers indicate that, obviously, with his high-end efficiency. I mentioned Kavanaugh, 19 minutes, 4 points, 2 rebounds. I didn't think he played poorly. He didn't shoot the ball well. He was 0-3 from the three-point range. I was a little bit surprised that he played so much after being anonymous for so long here. He's not played really rotation minutes since Collins returned, and that's not a bad thing. I don't think Kavanaugh necessarily should be playing. I had no problem with him taking some of Babbitt's minutes because Babbitt's clearly fallen out a little bit of the rotation at this point in time. But playing him 19 minutes was an eyebrow raise for me. I probably wouldn't have done that too much, but it wasn't as if he killed the Hawks in any meaningful way. DeAndre Bembel only played one stint, did not play at all in the second half. 7 minutes, no points, no assists, no steals, and 2 turnovers. I mentioned the 2 missed layups and that bad pass. That was pretty much all Bud needed to see, apparently, from Bembry. And his offense has really been really, really struggling. We mentioned that a couple times on the podcast in recent days, but Bembry is not playing well right now offensively, and it makes it tough to play him, especially in a game like this when points were at a premium, to be sure. And finally, Isaiah Taylor, 7 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 rebounds, 3 of 12 from the floor is not great. I actually was encouraged by that, though, because the fact that I thought he'd been pretty hesitant recently when it comes to creating his own shot, creating his own offense. Obviously, did not have it going here in any way, but the fact that he was more aggressive was actually a positive thing for me, and hopefully the results will follow. But it was good to see him sort of be assertive, even if the numbers were not good from a shooting perspective. Offensively, the Hawks actually played very, very well here as a team. A 120 offensive rating against a team in Oklahoma City has a very, very good defense. Of course, some of that's probably them letting up a little bit when they had that huge lead. Oklahoma City led by 16 points in this game at one point in time, but still, the Hawks are putting up a strong offensive performance. Defensively, they enter this game at number 30 in the league, according to Cleaning and according to cleaning the glass when it comes to a per possession basis defensively, and that showed here. You know, the Thunder have struggled all season long offensively, and they had a 123 offensive rating. They shot 54% from the field, I should say, 52% from the 3-point line. Some of that's unsustainable. You know, Carmelo Anthony had 7 of 10 from three in this game. Some of that's not all on the Hawks, but still. Defensively, there were a lot of issues, but you know, it takes solace in the offensive end of the floor. There was one big thing we have not hit on just yet, and that was the Thunder getting 15 offensive rebounds. They rebounded 43% of their offensive misses. That is going to be a backbreaker a lot of the time, and it was in this game. Second chance points were a huge problem for the Hawks, and that was one of the big reasons why they lost this game in the end. Still, a pretty encouraging performance on the whole for Atlanta, especially without Dennis Schroeder. You know, Schroeder is, you know, sort of a pros and cons kind of player, but still playing without one of your better and more talented players in this game on the road as a double-digit underdog, and to hang around and really have a real chance to win down the stretch is encouraging on a number of levels. So, shouts to the Hawks for that. Before we get out of here, I do want to point out real quickly that both Mike Muscala and Tyler Dorsey had nice games in Erie on Thursday. Muscala had not played in a long, long time, returned to the court for his first rehab stint game in Erie. Had 12 points in 15 minutes for the Bayhawks. It was a pretty limited sample because I'm sure they were not trying to push him a whole lot. He's going to be playing again on Saturday in Erie, so they'll keep an eye on that. And then Tyler Dorsey had a huge game, 34 points on 13 and 21 shooting. Not a big surprise. He is overqualified for that level at this point in time, but to see him play well and perform well and fill up the box score is an encouraging thing for a young guy who, I'm sure, and just for the record, a lot of the Hawks fans got really excited by that performance. I wouldn't take too much from it, but other than to say he played well in a situation where he should play well, and there's some positive thinking to be gleaned from that. So the Hawks will be back in action on Saturday night against the Dallas Mavericks at Phillips Arena. I will be in the building for that one, so I'll recap that as a special edition Sunday show. Then we'll have a couple of days off for Christmas, and then we'll be back again when the Hawks get back in action later on in that week. So we'll recap that a little bit after the game on Saturday, and if nothing else, please subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys are dialed in. Merry Christmas if you guys missed the show on Saturday, because I know a lot of people will be on the road. If you can, though, check us out, and if you subscribe, it'll just pop up for you. So that's a good PSA in this point in time, and so we'll see you guys then. Please enjoy it, and we'll see you guys from Phillips Arena tomorrow night.